Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 28 through 33. That's 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 28 through 33. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king." The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about." And the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There is good news, my lord, the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you do to you harm be as that young man is." Then the king was deeply moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son, my son."
Those who study the life of David are deeply touched by this event in David's life at the loss, the tragic death, the violent death of his son, Absalom. This question, asked twice in the text by David, is a very revealing about the sensitive and touching love that he had for his son, Absalom. When messengers came to report to David the events that were happening in battle, in political turmoil, David's question is not, "How's the battle going? How many troops have we lost? What is the political situation farther away from this territory?" His question has to do, "Is it well with the young man, Absalom?" Twice expressed concern by David for the well-being of his son in these few verses in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let that be the foundation of our thought in the lesson this morning. Is it well with the young man? Fathers and mothers today need to be concerned about the safety and the welfare of their children. They may ask a similar question in their minds, or they may verbally express that. A wife to a husband to a wife, a mother to the friends of her son. Is it well with my son? Depending on the circumstances and where he is it well with my daughter? A question we might think about as fathers when our children go out during an evening. We wish the best for them. Will it be well? Will it be well for them? Will some tragedy befall them, or will they return to the nest safely? Absalom was dead when David asked the question twice. Is it well with a young man, Absalom? Some parents wait too late in life to show this kind of interest in their children, and how tragic that is. Young people need to be concerned about themselves, of course, about their safety and about their welfare, and above all, about their relationship to God and their responsibility to God. The safety and the welfare of the young man is dependent upon several different things in this life, the young man or the young woman, but for the sake of our illustration today, the young man. The young man can be safe when he has purpose of heart in his innermost being. He has resolved certain things, that he will live a certain way, that he will have a certain purpose in life. Absalom, the son of David, was a man who had a rebellious heart. He attempted to take the kingdom from his own father. The young man must make his heart right and secure with God. Daniel was a faithful servant of God because, then the text says of Daniel, that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, a noble thing for a young man to serve God in that fashion. Daniel planned ahead, and he put it in his own mind and fixed it there securely that he would not do anything that would defile himself and dishonor him before God. You know, many people do evil because they have no purpose of heart. Rehoboam, who reigned in Jerusalem, we are told in 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. David even urged Solomon, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God," in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19. So we might ask the question in application today, what about your heart? How is your heart? You recall that Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." Do evil thoughts proceed from your heart this day? He went on to say, "All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." What comes from a person's heart is what actually defiles him before God. Secondly, the young man is safe when he remembers his Creator. The wise man exhorted all future generations of young people in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, "I have no delight in them." Remember your Creator. Establish that as something firm and unshakable in your life as a young man or a young lady. We have a Creator, and we were created in the image of God, we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Remembering your Creator involves much more than just remembering that He exists. There is much more involved in just knowing that He is God. Remembering your Creator is to learn everything of Him that you possibly can and dedicate your life to His service. It involves fearing God and keeping His commandments, as Solomon wrote at the end of this letter in Ecclesiastes, or the end of this sermon in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 13 and 14. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. This is trusting in God, Proverbs 18 and verse 10. And being faithful in worshiping God as we worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus declared in John 4 and verse 24. Do not wait till the dark days of old age overtake you and creep upon you to remember your Creator. Remember your Creator while you're young is the idea. The young man is not safe when he leaves his Creator out of his life. Not at all. In order for the young man to be safe, he must take heed to God's Word. The psalmist wrote, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." Psalm 119 and verse 9. The young man must heed God's word. Not only hear it, but live according to its sacred instructions. The word of God is what helps us in times of temptation. Jesus illustrated that for us when in the wilderness, after a long period of fasting, the devil came to him. He was in a hungry state, and the devil tempted him. Turn these stones to bread. Go ahead and eat. Fill your belly with bread. But the Lord would not do that and relied heavily upon the sacred scriptures of God. It is written, the Lord said, after every temptation by Satan. The psalmist said, your word have I treasured in my heart. Notice, it doesn't say, the psalmist didn't declare this beautiful praise of the word of God by saying, your word I have casually considered at various times throughout my life. Or your word have I listened to, but not really relied on very strongly. Notice that he says, your word I have treasured in my heart. And that's what we must do with the word of God in order for it to lodge there and remain there. It will not be an automatic thing. We must treasure it. We must prize it. We must value it, esteem it very highly, in order for it to remain in our hearts. Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Notice that this psalmist, who is praising the word of God as it so richly deserves, feared sinning against God. And that was one reason why his word is treasured in the heart. It goes on to say in verse 105 of the 119th Psalm, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God enlightens our way and shows us clearly the way to walk, that we would not stumble and fall. The young man is safe when he spends time on a day-to-day basis reading and studying from the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul instructed his young protege in the faith to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Have you taken heed to God's word this day? Have you determined to accurately handle the word of truth this day? We hope that you have. The young man must also keep his way and be safe by honoring and obeying his parents. Absalom's downfall was brought about by his wayward attitude toward his father. He actually waged war against his own flesh and blood. Against his own father, he did this. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, Paul to the Ephesian Christians gives this admonition about the young man honoring and obeying his parents when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Under the law of Moses, the young man who did not honor his parents and did not obey the instructions of his father and his mother was punished by being put to death. A very severe punishment in our eyes today. But it was that serious with Almighty God for children to be raised in such a way that they would respect and honor their parents and obey their instructions. Let us follow the example of Jesus and be subject to our parents as Jesus was growing up, that we might be safe. Luke 2 and verse 51. Furthermore, the young man is safe when he bears the yoke, according to Lamentations 3 and verse 27. Jeremiah prophesied and said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. The Bible teaches young people to learn this principle, and it teaches the mature to work with their hands. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. There are two sides to that coin that Paul reveals to the Ephesians here in this chapter, and he may be reminding some of them about their former lifestyle. When he says, "Steal, he who steals must steal no longer." Have you ever known of a person who steals or a thief who is really concerned about the needs of other people? The thief does not steal in order that he may give to other people. He has no concern for other people. The admonition is, don't be that kind of person any longer. Be the person who labors with your own hands, and then you'll be able to provide for yourself and those dependent on you, and you will be able to provide for others who are in need as well. Notice the emphasis there on providing for others and how important that is with the new mindset of being a Christian. But labor with your own hands. This will keep the young man safe. Also, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." Industry is a safeguard for the young man. People used to say idleness is the devil's workshop. If we allow our children to be idle, they'll grow up to be idle. They won't amount to very much. They won't be willing to work. They'll have no industry about them. But this industry is a safeguard for a young man. The busy youth can say to the tempter, "I am doing a great work and I cannot come down." Just like Nehemiah said to those who would stop production on the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple. "I am doing a great work and I can't stop for any idleness or any business that's totally unimportant." Idleness and slothfulness lead to hunger, according to Proverbs 19 and verse 15. Idleness and slothfulness lead to rags in Proverbs 23 and verse 21, and also to gossip and talebearing in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Parents do their children an injustice when they do not teach them to be industrious and to work with their own hands, as we are admonished in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Proverbs 10 and verse 5, "He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully." Furthermore, the young man is safe when he chooses good friends. Whether we realize it or not, those we associate with in this life influence the way we think and what we do. Who we hang around with can influence us in a good way or a bad way. Solomon recorded, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm," in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. If we think that we can run around with unrighteous and ungodly people and not be tarnished ourselves by what they think and what they do, we are sadly mistaken. We are only deceiving ourselves. We will be influenced by their ways. Hence the warning by Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." That principle was true 2,000 years ago. It's true even today. Proverbs 24 and verse 1, "Do not desire the company of evil men." We must not desire that company. Many a young man has been led to total ruin by bad company that he's kept in this life. It has resulted in the death of many of our young people in this country. Just hanging around the wrong people, being in the wrong crowd, being in the wrong place at the wrong time because someone didn't give them the proper guidance, because a parent, a father, or a mother was not careful enough to give that child the instruction and the training that that child needed, and yes, even the discipline. Many a young man has been led to ruin by failing to choose good friends. Choose to associate with those who will help you make it to heaven, who will help you be a good person, an honest person, and stay out of the jails and the prisons across this country. The young man will be safe when he chooses good friends, and also he will be safe when he flees youthful lusts, to use an expression from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. There are lusts that are peculiar to the young man. Paul told the young man Timothy, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart," in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Notice that he didn't say, "Casually saunter away from these lusts that can overtake you." Notice that he doesn't say, "Inch away from them little by little." Notice that he emphatically says, "Run away from them. Flee youthful lusts." A young man by the name of Joseph illustrated that very principle for us in the pages of the Old Testament in Genesis 39, verses 7 through 12. He was tempted to lie with his master's wife, and he fled from her presence. And that's how he avoided the sin. The Bible says that Joseph refused in Genesis 39, verses 8 and 12, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. James taught in the New Testament, "But each one of us is tempted when he's carried away, enticed by his own lust. When his lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." In James 1, 14 through 15. A young man must be careful, be very careful about the things that he allows himself to be enticed by. The young man is safe when he runs away from youthful lusts. He is also safe when he lets no man despise his youth. Now, some people read that, and they have a lot of questions about, well, exactly what does that mean, to despise someone's youth? The young man, Timothy, is admonished, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness," in the New American Standard Version, or "despise your youth" in the King James Version. "But rather, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe." Now, the rest of that verse can kind of help enlighten us what it means to, what the admonition means to let no one despise your youth. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. It has to do with the way you live as a youth, as a young person. And actually, you were considered to be a young man up to age 40 in New Testament times. Now, if you have that understanding of the way things are in that society, then maybe that will help us to appreciate the concept of let no one look down on your youthfulness. When would people look down on the youthfulness of someone? When they clown around and act silly and act immature about things and regard the holy things of God as insignificant? Those would be conditions whereby someone would look down on the youthfulness of a person. But if they looked at a person who was considered to be youthful and they saw spiritual qualities, good morals, honesty, integrity, someone who was industrious and worked with his hands, Someone who fought off the temptations of Satan. Someone who was careful about his company. They would say of that person good compliments, wouldn't they? Remarks of a positive nature about that person. And that's the admonition that Paul is giving to Timothy. Let your lifestyle be such that people will not downgrade you and tag you as being a youth who is immature and has not grown to any sort of spiritual maturity at all. Because he goes on to say, let your speech, your conduct, love, faith, and purity show yourself an example of the believer. Be an example of what a believer is supposed to be, even though you're a young man, is the admonition. So to prevent that, you should act in such a way that would cause others to respect you. The young man must be an example of what the believer is. When the young man lets no man despise his youth and is a living example of the believer, he is safe. Yes, the young man is safe. And furthermore, a young man is safe when he comes to the point for marriage in his life when he marries the right person. Did you ever think there would be a wrong person to marry? Well, certainly there is. The wise man penned in Proverbs 5 and verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Who you choose to marry is one of the greatest choices you will ever make in life because of what marriage is in the estimation of God, not our current society. In the estimation of God, what marriage is. Marriage is not something you do today and you undo the next. Marriage is a lifelong commitment to let the words of my grandparents ring in my ears and share those with you because they're biblically based. It's a lifelong commitment. It's not something you do today and can undo tomorrow. Marriage is a lifelong relationship between a man and a woman. And that's clear from the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 19, verses 5 and 6. Who you marry will have a definite impact on what the rest of your life will be like. Do you want to spend your life walking with God? Or do you want to spend your life in heartache and misery? Away from God, an enemy of God, because of some choice you have made in connection with marriage. Marry someone who has a scriptural right to marry. Marry someone who has the same goals and beliefs that you do. If you are a Christian, the greatest advice that I can give to you is marry another Christian. If you are really not interested in being a Christian, don't marry a Christian. And don't mess up that person's opportunity for spiritual growth and development. If you know full well that you're not interested in being what God wants you to be, don't mess up someone else's life and don't put their soul in jeopardy if you're not willing to put your hand to the plow and don't turn back, to use an expression of our Lord. Marry someone who will help you make it to heaven. Here is something to keep in mind. You will marry someone that you date. So don't date a person that you would not consider marrying. Date someone that you would consider marrying. The young man is safe. When he is a Christian, decides that he will marry only a Christian. That makes things so much less difficult in the adjustment that must be made when young people marry among everyone. The young man is also safe when he is ready to die. Because death is certain. Solomon announced, for the living know they will die, in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. One of the tragic realities of our lives that we see probably when we pick up a newspaper every day is that young people in our community die just as well as older people do. And we view that as a tragedy. And we say in those situations, that person never really had a chance to live. But death touches all. And all living know that they will die. Paul said, as in Adam, all die, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. The Hebrew writer in chapter 9 and verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed to men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Death is an appointment that we all will keep, and the time of which is unknown to man. Death could be at our doorstep today. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be next year. It could be 10, 20, 30 years away. We do not know, because we do not know the future. And because we feel good and feel good about ourselves is no indication that we will have a long and prosperous life on God's earth. Young people die too. Death is an appointment that we all must keep, and the time is unknown to man. The psalmist stated in Psalm 88 in verse 15, I was afflicted and about to die from my youth on. Young man, are you ready to die? You must give serious consideration to that as you mature in this life and realize that there are no guarantees for how long you will live. And once any person dies, it's too late to change things that may alter your eternal destiny. Those things are set and sealed at the death of everyone. The important thing is to be ready at all times to meet your Maker in judgment. Young man, are you ready to die? If you're not, you are not safe. And we want you to be safe. The safety of the young man depends on several things, as we've noticed in our lesson this morning. Hear this from Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Our question this morning, to young and old alike, are you safe? Are you safe in the arms of Christ? Is your salvation secure? Have you taken stock of your own faith and your own position before God? Have you looked closely, carefully, objectively at your life and found that you have done what God has required in order for you to be saved? And are you walking in that light and that salvation? Because many people falter, and so many fall away from the faith. And we ask you today, have you in your heart fallen away from God? If you have, you don't have to leave this building in that condition today. When you leave here, you can know that you are saved from your sins and that the promise of heaven for you is real and alive. Don't leave here this morning any other way but in that condition. We plead with you and we admonish you to walk with God when you leave this building. And we can help you in any possible way to do that today. We will. Do you believe with your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to confess Him before men, to repent of sins, to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, as the converts did in the book of Acts under the instruction of the apostles? That's the only thing we require. People today is exactly what Jesus would require of people if He were here preaching. Can we help you? If we can, please let us know by coming to the front. while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.